recently, I had a chance to see again one of my favorite plays, Cyrano de Bergerac. If you haven't seen it, you should. I recommend it. But a brief summary here just can't do it justice, so I won't try. But there was a line in the play, this particular translation of the play, for it was originally written in French, that has been rolling around in my head for the last week or so. The line is spoken by Cyrano. Cyrano, who we come to know as a great poet. A lover, but because of his looks, for he has a tremendously large nose, is afraid to express his love openly to the one he truly adores. So Cyrano, on behalf of another man, a less articulate man, a man who's unable to give words flight, writes a series of love letters to the woman he deeply and secretly loves, and he signs the other man's name. Late in the play, this inarticulate lover comes to realize that what has taken place is a sham. The woman fell in love with the authors of the letter, not the man whose name was signed to them. In a moment of frustration, the inarticulate lover called this entire affair the lie for which it was. But Cyrano responded, and now I have to paraphrase a bit, a lie is like a myth, and a myth speaks some truth. I wish at that moment there could have been a brief pause in the play. I really wanted to consider that phrase a bit longer. For while it was meant to deflect the frustration of the inarticulate lover who realized the woman he loved was not really in love with him, the line for me had broader implications. While I'm not sure that I agree with the notion that a lie is like a myth, I certainly hold that a myth speaks some truth. This is particularly true when I teach biblical myths. There are a lot of folks who get upset when they take a class with me. And when I say that the story we are about to study, it could be the creation story or the flood or the story of Abraham sacrificing Isaac, and I say, what we are about to read is a myth. What I think some hear me saying is that the authors of the Bible were liars. They hear me accusing the biblical authors of attempting to deceive the reader, knowingly, intentionally, deceitfully creating a story out of whole cloth that was designed to trick future readers. This, I do not believe, is the case. I don't see those who created biblical myths as simply liars trying to trick their audience. Rather, I see them attempting to address profound issues of their age, answering the questions not with historical facts, but rather with myths that contain within them truths that resonate through the ages. In part, the reason biblical myths survive, in fact, any myth for that matter, is that they address essential matters, philosophical issues that transcend an age. Unfortunately, too many people today read the Bible with the expectation that what they are reading is a chronology of historically accurate events. And when they learn that those early stories aren't factually true, they're upset and confused. But more, they discount those stories thinking now they have no value at all. I would argue that when we come to appreciate the mythic quality of early biblical stories, we can appreciate them on a new level. We can tease out the issues our ancestors were attempting to address and find a truth within them. Not facts, but human truths of suffering, of hope, frustration, of fear, attempting to understand one's place in the universe and the world, struggling with what it means to be human. While we may not agree with their analysis or philosophic perspective, we can come to appreciate the issues with which they wrestled. Recognizing the Bible is not a historical text does not diminish it, but opens it up to teach us more than we would otherwise learn. I'm Robert Barr, rabbi of Congregation Beth Adam. Take a look at our sister website, ourjewishcommunity.org, and thanks for listening.